brings diehard sports fans together as one big family through tailgate and road trips. Now the guys from Green Legion are bringing the tailgate to the airwaves. Quimby, Hollis Tank Thomas, Michael Diaz, and Chris Sack always keep the party going, so crack a beer, take a shot, and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
All right, everybody, Bud Light Green Legion Radio here on Fox Sports Radio in Philadelphia. My name is Quimby. We are brought to you by our good friends at MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. Check them out at mcsinc-pa.com or call them at
484-202-3656. That's 484-202-3656. Had Lenny at my house on Monday.
Lenny.
Stop by. I'm going to get an estimate next week. So
excellent. Good. Yes. Good. And there's going to be a lot to talk about with MCS coming up real soon. We're going to have an interesting contest worth about $15,000 in a giveaway. So everybody knows that's coming. All right, everybody. My name's Quimby. I am alongside a number of gracious and excellent hosts: Hollis Tank Thomas, Michael Shut Up Diaz, Chris Sackmaster, Slash Kyle, Kid Rock, Joe Dirt,
the Gobbler.
Wow.
And, of course, we're joined as well. Well, do not forget Sam, our intern. Nobody put Sammy in the corner. Unfortunately, she is today, although her view is a lot better than ours. We do have Pam and Keenan in-house today as well.
Ow.
Super fans of Green Legion Radio, and we really appreciate them coming in. But the highlight right now, and everybody knows because we've been talking about it all week, we appreciate Sean and Eitan and Jansen promoting it as well. In studio with us, former Philadelphia Eagle number 17 year. Hold on, let me say that again, because you don't have the biggest satchel of Richards in the room right now, my man.
Yes, I still do.
17 year NFL veteran Irving Fryer. How are you, sir?
Hey, thank you. Those are real hand claps. That's not a.
I can pull that up too, but we had to.
I appreciate it. Thank you,
Irvin. Welcome. Yes. Welcome to the show. We are excited. In all fairness to Hollis, Lito, Freddie Barnett, you certainly have the most tenured NFL career out of everybody. You know, except for Hollis, we have to acknowledge him every time as the big dog in the room.
I had to alert you to something the other day. He's the number one overall pick.
Yeah,
you don't go beyond that.
I was 14,
and you know what? It just didn't have the pomp and circumstance when I was drafted that it does now. I mean, you didn't have social media, didn't have Sports Center, you didn't have all of that stuff going on with the draft. So it was, they said I was the number one pick, and then that was it, and I was sent back home.
Was it televised?
Yes, it was televised.
Was it on UHF or black and white?
It was one of the three stations that we had at the time, back when TV went off at midnight, and they played the national anthem, and the TV went off. but it really wasn't a real exciting time, because I actually had signed my contract with the Patriots before the draft. So I had actually spent about $25,000 before the draft. So
you can wear that great suit and awesome watch, and they tell you to go home right away?
Yeah. So I went there for a formality, just to be there at draft headquarters when they announced the number one pick.
Cool.
So I already knew. It wasn't like I sat there and we're trying to wait to see who's going to be picked first. It was already done.
Well, this is excellent, because Tank has once again ruined my progression of
deepest
questions.
Apologies.
So he gets a little excited in the room.
Deepest apologies.
But listen, we're going to get to Irving here for a majority of the show. We are going to talk a little bit of Sixers.
Get that out of the way.
Yes, that's coming first. In an effort to not offend the Reverend in the room, I will just say this is week 21 of Sean McVay's fiance, and I'd still... That's it. That's all you got.
He'd handle business.
Yep. I'd still buy her dinner.
Everybody, make sure you rate, review, download, or subscribe to Green Legion Radio on iTunes or Google Play by searching for Green Legion Radio. You can also find us on TuneIn Radio by searching for Green Legion Radio. And, of course, the easiest thing to do is download the iHeartRadio app and go to Green Legion Radio, and you will get all four shows. The flagship version you're listening to right now, Green Legion Radio. Ice to Shorts, Winter Sports, Get Tanked Happy Hour with Tank and Quimby, and of course, Bud Light Baseball Brunch with Murph and Sack, Greg Murphy and Chris Sack, and soon to be possibly another one. Oh. Into the fryer pan.
The fryer pan.
That's not the name of it.
Now you're messing up.
It's only one shot. Don't worry.
Into the fryer pan.
Into the fryer.
Although that's good.
Could be a spinoff of baseball.
I would put
brunch.
It into the fryer pan.
I like that.
That's we need the fryer good. Pan on baseball brunch.
Or a segment.
I like the fryer place better.
Lounging with Irvin at the Friar Place.
Everybody, Green Legion Radio is brought to you once again by our good friends at Bud Light, Stateside Vodka and Stateside Bourbon, MCS Residential, MCS Custom Cabinetry, The Next Sip, COVID accepted, hands-free drink and drink and text at the same time, TheNextSip.com. All the Cavanaugh's restaurants, Cavanaugh's Riverdeck, Cavanaugh's Head House, Cavanaugh's Rittenhouse, our good friend Paul working the basement bar downstairs, and of course, Cavanaugh's University City. All the beautiful ladies working their way through med school and law school at Delilah's.
Damn skipping.
All City Fitness Philadelphia locations, East Market, Logan Square, Graduate Hospital, Fishtown, and Northern Liberties. And of course, if you are not in the city and you're across the bridge, make sure you check out Echelon Health and Fitness. The owner was going to be here today. He was going to give you a free membership, but it's still like a 25-minute drive for you to Echelon Health and Fitness. If you want one, let me know.
I'll let you know. I'll take it.
Bucks County Baseball Company, the King of Prussia Diner, and, of course, our newest and best sponsor, Cherry Hill Triplex. All right, House.
Yes, sir.
What happened this week in sports history, and what happened this week in Hollis history?
So today I got a short, but today is June the 19th, 2021. It's the 170th day of the year. There's 195 of these puppies remaining.
Puppies.
Yes. And so we take it straight to June the 17th when the Sixers, June the 17th of 1992, they traded away Charles Barkley to the Phoenix Suns. I got a couple of quick birthdays because nothing else really happened besides that debacle. Way to go. Way to go, DS. So.
He's getting ready.
It's hard enough. It's a hard enough life for Diaz right now.
And cahoots with what went on the other day. And today's birthday is 1897, Mo Howard. 1954, Taz, Mo Howard from the Three Stooges.
I think he's from Philadelphia.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes. And Taz, the Tasmanian Devil from the Looney Tunes, 1954. See, I knew it.
Yeah, he is.
And then,
so the best part is, you know, the first sound that he makes when he realizes that Bugs just screwed him.
Mm-hmm. 1976, former teammate Darnell Archie, and 1978, Garfield, because I love lasagna.
Who doesn't?
So today's story is that it was my rookie year, and we were just talking about how players are missing games and stuff. And my man here, he was playing with a broken toe the entire season.
Big toe, right?
Broken big toe.
You know what? And the turf toe
it was broken. The thing that happened was I had yet to witness him getting injected until one week I broke my ribs. So I was going in to get injected for pain, and just so happens that they were injecting his toe from the top. From the tippy top. So I had to take my glasses off because I'm looking. And so
And you went, is going to be my career.
No, because they came over and started touching me, talking about, where does it hurt? I was like, it don't hurt no more. It does not hurt anymore. And I just recently told him that story because I had never witnessed, because he was like, I was getting it done every week. I was like, yeah, I know, but I was in the locker room. It's like, you have to go into the training room to get that done. So I'm in the training room, and I see them, and they got his foot out, his bare foot out. So then I see him break out a needle about like this to go to the top of his toe. And so I'm sitting there, and so Dr. Arthur Bartolozzi started touching on my ribs.
No, thank you.
He was like, Arthur was like, he kept touching me. I was like, I don't feel nothing. I'm good.
See, my experience healed you.
Yes, it did. I had to get it when I came back in because I was dying.
Real fast, our good friend of the program, Adam Gilmore, says, Fryer Place for the win.
I saw that. I saw that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we listen to him. He looks like a dumbass, but he's got it upstairs. Just kidding, Adam. Love you, baby. All right, guys, let's do it. Let's get into it. Let me turn off my cell phone. Amateur. Sorry about that. All right, I am going to just say, elephant in the room, We know that. It's the first thing we talk about every week on this show. Epic collapse.
Oof.
And now I'm going to just throw it over to Chris Sack, not to Diaz.
Diaz, I had requested this time right here because I want to be. I want to
ambush
this,
me.
I want to treat this. No. I want to treat this like volleyball, Diaz. I want to set and I want you to spike. The thing is, though, is you always like to play this big brother, little brother thing. I don't want to hear you relate crap when it comes to the Flyers, the Phillies, the Eagles. I don't want to hear that the Jazz are the number one seed in the West and they're struggling too right now. I don't want to hear any of that stuff. I want you right now. I'm calling you to the carpet, Diaz. I want you to call this team out for what they are, the frauds that they are, the fact that this process has completely failed and this team is such crap that you need to call them out right now. I want to hear you bash Ben Simmons. I want to hear you bash Tobias Harris. I want to hear you bash Doc Rivers. The fact that last night at one point in the second half, 36 combined points between Embiid and Curry, 6 points for everybody else. Embiid and Curry were the only two that hit field goals the whole second half. Diaz, please tell me right now. I want to hear it from you. I want you to go off, man.
Okay, good. Let him talk.
I want Volcano Diaz.
Well, first off, the process was a success. If they lose in the second round.
Listen to me. Oh, God.
This was an epic failure because they're expected to win. Now, if they epically fail in that, the expectation that they were going to win is because they're a really good team and they're playing way under their current level of talent. They are the better team. They're the better team. I was saying when I first came in, I don't think Atlanta did anything special. I didn't think they were like, oh my God, they're just doing their same thing they do over and over and over. And we just frightened up and turtled up.
You choked.
Turtled.
No, there's not turtling. You choke.
They're afraid. Tobias and Ben are handing off the basketball like it's freaking football in the fourth quarter.
How many times
I talk about the all-bench lineups? How many times do I talk about the all-bench lineups?
Ideas,
it's unbelievable.
To amp you up just a little bit more, this was the second epic collapse.
Oh yeah, because they did one the day before, in a row. Yes. More fun stats.
My girlfriend, 37 in a row.
Going into last night's game, the Sixers had in the last 25 years, they had 165 games where they had a lead of 25 points or more. Today, they're 165-1. That's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Last night at the third quarter, what, 3.5 minutes left?
You're about to go hockey.
She was.
ESPN stats and info had them at a 99.7% chance to win the game.
So you're saying there's a chance
to
lose?
The night before was like a 95.6 when they had an 18-point lead. It's just unbelievable. Like there's blame all around.
Well, that's what makes it so bad is because they are a better team.
They are
than Atlanta, and they should be winning this series. They should have, you know,
should have been done last night.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to defend Ben Simmons at all. I still think it's okay letting him do what he does.
Telling me there's a chance.
I don't understand how you can be a professional basketball player and not shoot the ball. That's like me being a receiver on a team and I can't catch.
You're just a good runner.
You're a good run blocker.
We'll get to the Orange Bowl later.
Isn't it amazing how
people will take one incident in your life and try to shape your whole life with it?
He doesn't shoot, but now he's not driving to the basket because he's too scared to get fouled. Right. So he's a liability on offense tremendously.
The foul shooting.
I would have rather had Tyrese Maxey at the end of that game.
The foul shooting is, it's not the three right now. Listen, if he could shoot 3-pointers, it'd be great. But if he just did his average free throws at 60%, the series is over. We're not even asking you to be good at it. I have some stats for you. 60% is not good. That's just what he does. They score 12 more points. Well, 24 more points in this series.
He's
missed 45. Ben Simmons has missed more free throws in the playoffs than like four other teams. He's missed more on his own. He's missed more free throws than half of the teams left.
Not only that, he's missed more free throws in these playoffs than four teams in the entire regular season.
Yeah, it's insane.
I have a better stat for you.
Yeah, give it to me.
He has the worst free throw percentage in the playoffs, second only to Ben Wallace.
Yeah.
Benny Wallace.
In 2006.
Yeah, Benny Wallace.
That's with a minimum of 60 free throws.
Benny Wallace has a title, though.
That's right. He does. And
27%. He shot 27% in 2006. Ben Simmons this year in the playoffs, 31%.
And Ben Simmons did one of the worst, most egregious things that you could possibly ever do.
Sleep with a Kardashian?
Outside of that.
Wow. Okay.
No, no. What he did after the game last night was he admitted that it was a mental thing. Yeah, like, dude, even if you're thinking it, you don't admit it. Because right now, the Hawks
know. I agree with that when it comes to a Kardashian as well.
They know they're in your head now. Like, well, why would you even admit that?
But I don't think that the Hawks are in his head. He's in his head.
In his own. Yeah, but now they know that they're there too.
Well, everybody can see that something's going on in his head. It's not like that he stands at the foul line and he shoots the ball and he's lost his talent. That's why he's missing it. He's missing free throws because there's something going awry up here.
That is 100% true. Yeah. That's why he's not shooting 60%, which is his average. He's shooting half of that. He's missing more, 60% still is not acceptable. He really should just, if he was at 70, 75.
We talked about this.
You know what he should do? He should sit his ass down. Point blank. Everybody's making all these excuses. Yeah.
These aren't excuses.
Yes, they are.
You guys want to know what's going on up in his head right now?
Nothing. Sit his ass down.
You know what?
Point blank. You get paid millions of dollars. Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Dude, you've been defending since you didn't come right out and say they are stinking up the joint. Point blank. They are stinking up the joint. You start trying to point the finger and give up excuses, sir.
I'm not giving up excuses.
Yes, you are.
I've let you guys run with this for a little bit. And I'm going to chime in here and say a couple things. First of all, we don't have this problem if Tobias Harris, your maximum paid player on the team, gets his head out of his ass yesterday. He had four total freaking points.
That's both unacceptable.
Completely unacceptable.
Both of them did, and both of them are max paid.
Simmons isn't max.
Is he? Yes.
$350 million combined between the two of them.
Wow.
Flush that down the toilet.
Okay, great.
That's a lot of money.
But here's the other part. Here's the other part. And I'm sorry. We all wanted to avoid this one while we were winning. Embiid was gassed in the fourth quarter again.
There's a reason for that.
Yes, there's a reason for that because the bench blew the lead, it was like a 10 or 12 point lead. And Doc normally sits Embiid and the rest of the starters out until seven and a half minutes left are in the game. He had to bring them back on the court with 10 and a half minutes left in the game. Like as soon as the bench, I think they gave up eight in a row, and then like you saw the starters, and then Curry immediately like kept pace with Lou Williams. But then at one point, man, they just couldn't get any shots anymore for either the big two, Curry or Embiid. And then Lou Williams was still draining his, and that's when Trae Young got hot.
And it's bad when your center has to be your primary ball handler because everybody else is too scared to hold the ball.
Yeah, they're handing the ball off. He passed the ball off to Tobias twice.
The only two people that wanted the ball in that fourth quarter were Seth Curry and Joel Embiid.
He was the only one shooting. And the thing was, they were double.
And he went cold for 5 minutes.
Yeah, the funniest thing was, there was a meme that showed Doc Rivers trying to guard Nate McMillan in their prime. It was bad then. It was bad then, and it's bad now.
Brian Walton said it right. Looked like a deer in the headlights, all of them.
Yep. What's Elton Brand doing? Can he suit up tomorrow night?
Yeah, I know.
Seriously. As we record on Thursday.
So are you going to say it? The Sixers stink. The process stopped.
The process was over 5 years ago.
The process has been over. It sucks. It was not a success.
Now, I'll tell you right now, I feel for you. All right. Because I'm a big Sixers fan too. All right. I know these guys are coming at you.
Since 2019.
These bookend bastards are coming right at you. I'm feeling your pain with you.
I'm mad.
All right, but I know they're coming at you, and it's all right, man. Don't worry. We got Eagles coming up.
They're trying to come after me. Like, listen,
and the Phillies won last night.
The only reason I'm coming after you is because you will not admit it. You can keep making up excuses. You will not just say they stink.
They stink right now. Okay, they suck. It's embarrassing. Let me clarify.
They don't suck.
Right.
They don't stink because they are in the playoffs.
They're just
sucking right now.
They're not.
It's the wrong time to suck.
They're not
rising to the occasion.
They're not a playoff team.
Well, that could be the case.
They're not playing like it.
But they're not. They're not rising to the occasion.
They do not play well under pressure.
They don't play hungry.
In the playoffs, your game's supposed to go to another level. You're supposed to turn it up.
And it's evident that Ben Simmons doesn't have that in his arsenal based on his free throw percentage right now.
Right. It's affecting his whole head.
Yeah.
Diaz, obviously, this is going to be out there on Saturday, so it's going to be after Game 6 in Atlanta on Friday night. But if they lose this series, either last night, Friday night, or Sunday night, how big of a disappointment is this season at that point? It's a failure.
A complete failure.
It's a complete failure. All I want from you is admit that.
Going into this season, it's like, as Hollis is always likes to jab me with, they never get out of the second round. I thought they were going to be like a 4 seed. I didn't think they were going to have home court advantage and have the easiest path to the finals. Your expectations change. If they lose, if you're listening to this right now, they lose. Ben Simmons is gone. Doc might be gone too.
Doc's not done.
He tanked that first game. He's killing it with these bench lineups. Listen,
you really never understand the concept of 1 minute
left.
Tease it.
And I just want to say, regardless of what we're going to continue to talk about on our return, again, another record breaker against the Philadelphia sports team last night. And I don't care if we lose sometimes. I just don't want to be in the books anymore.
Yeah. Last night was up there, man.
Bud Light, Green Legion Radio. On Fox Sports Philadelphia, brought to you by our good friends at MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry, back right after this. You can reach them at 484-202-3656. That's 484-202-3656.
Good work.
I used to do that in a bar. I would remember a girl's number. I'd run it in my head 10 times, and then I'd wake up in the morning, and the first thing I'd think of is a number. I'd write it down. I'm like, yeah, I remembered.
you wake up in the morning because you were dreaming. You didn't get no girl's numbers.
Kind of like you and the Fiona Apple concert.
Yeah.
Was that again?
We'll tell you about that.
Wait a minute.
he pooped on himself at a Fiona Apple concert.
No, I sharted. I didn't poop on myself.
I sharted.
You sharted? I sharted, yeah.
You played peekaboo?
Sharted.
He had to change his drawers.
He had to run to the bathroom, get rid of the turtle head.
Yeah, he didn't have to change the drawers. He had to get rid of the drawers.
Wow. Yeah, no, it wasn't.
That's not good.
Aqueous. It wasn't.
And it was on a first date.
Yep, that was good. Yep.
First of all, if you're going to a Fiona Apple concert on a first date, that relationship is doomed.
It was not a first date. No, if you shart at any date, that relationship is
okay.
Anyway. I think the Sixers might have been listening to Fiona.
I'd rather talk about the sharding the Sixers did last night. So can why don't you finish up what you were talking about here, and then we have to get to our man of double hour.
You guys can talk all you want to. I'm enjoying this. I'm having a good time.
If you're not paying attention, he is cracking up.
I'm having a good time.
Well, I think Irving was a little startled when he said when I'm going around asking everyone who wants a beer and shots of Jameson before we get started and everything.
This is delicious, by the way. Well, I just wanted to make sure, I'm like, okay, drinking before the show?
Yeah. Don't worry. We have it under control.
Yeah, okay. We've only just begun.
Do your thing. I am not judging.
Yeah, he enjoys Jameson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what the hell, man? Why don't you join us?
No.
Yeah, no.
Got to drive home.
He's got to drive home.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, what the hell, man? Why did you take an Uber?
Because never mind.
You don't have to explain yourself to him.
Dude, you can toss me the bird whenever you want.
Go ahead. I was gonna let him go ahead, but I have something before we kick it to Irvin. I have something. It's a little story. I know he remembers it. It was a hat story.
Uh-huh. I heard this last night.
Oh boy.
You heard this story?
You're a little territorial, my man.
No. There was okay.
But you take the diva away from receiver. You're kind of a badass. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, go ahead, tell the story.
Let's finish up Sixers.
All right,
we'll finish it up here. Listen, and rightfully so, everyone, the vile and the venom is directed at Ben Simmons today and Tobias Harris. But listen, if I could give out 100% blame to two people, I'd give it to Doc and Ben on this one. Doc, this is like since he's won that title, which absolves everything. Like it's almost like, you win a title and everything's good.
Kind of like Jeffrey Lurie not being a meddling owner.
He has lost. He has coached teams that have lost with lead 10 times straight. Last year, he got fired
from the Clippers because they were up 3-1 and lost the series. And when you give away a half like you did in game one by having Danny Green, who is a fine player, he's what, 34 years old? He's at the tail end of his career. He's made all defensive teams. He's smart. He's a pro, but he's not going to stay with Trae Young. You just gave away that half. And they scored 72 points in the first half. He's been asked all year about these stupid all bench lineups. And you know what? Having Tobias Harris with four bench guys, that's an all bench lineup. That's not slating Tobias, even though he's been playing like crap. You got to keep three starters. It's killing him. And we could talk about Ben, and we could talk about Tobias, and we could talk about Joel missing the layup and going 1-for-12. But the starting lineup is winning these games. They're what? Well, they're plus 60, mm-hmm. and the bench is minus 18 mm-hmm. or minus 20.
You can't have a 10-man rotation.
Yeah, you can't.
You want to know why you can? Because everybody's getting paid. You get paid to play. I don't give a damn what you said. The coach never touched the field. That's the only
thing. He's putting in the players, but though.
They're supposed to play. That's what you gave
them. They're not as good as the other players.
They're never going to be as good as other players.
So why put them in?
We're
supposed to put Mike Scott in the game in the playoffs.
Yes, you are.
Because he's getting paid $9 million to be detrimental to the team, but because he's getting paid $9 million.
Exactly. Can you beat Mike Scott? Okay. Can you be my fat? Can you do anything?
No.
Exactly. So when I'm paying somebody, you're going to play. Point blank.
The starters
are good, but you cannot overdo it.
So we're supposed to have a 15-man rotation?
You're supposed to have
8 to 10-man rotation.
Every
player.
Guys, we're going to have to do a little bit better job of talking over each other today.
I just got one.
We're all angry.
It's a team.
Exactly.
It's a team.
And the one thing that I'm trying to get you Yahoos to realize, how many titles have you won? How many titles have you won?
I don't even know where you're going.
Yahoos!
Like, that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, because
I don't want to say it, but how many titles have you won?
I got an NFC championship. I played the Super Bowl.
I don't know, man. You were playing with Fryer.
I was playing with Fryer too.
Yes. No, I'm saying you were playing with fire. I was playing on the fire.
Okay.
Oh boy.
No, I don't. But in the same right, I have played professional sports before, and I know what takes. I know what it takes.
Look,
but the thing is you can't blame it on the coach. Point blank. He did what he was supposed to do.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did. He took the timeouts when they started getting their ass kicked. He took the timeouts when he was supposed to. The thing that I hated about Brett Brown was he was not a good time manager. A coach is only the manager. Point blank.
Right. And he makes the substitution patterns. And when you have lineups that consistently are losing you games,
are we not the number one seed? Name me one time that our starters have played the entire damn game. Name me one time.
Hollis,
you
got to let me answer.
No. I don't want an excuse.
I'm not giving you an excuse.
Yes, you got it. I just muted it.
Okay. This is the deal, Hollis. In the playoffs, teams, not just the Sixers.
It's just an excuse. Name me one time.
What happened to Murray?
He's
giving me an excuse.
Need to take a breath.
I'm not taking.
Hollis, I'm not giving you an excuse. I'm telling you, in the playoffs.
Name one time.
In the playoffs.
Name one
Hollis,
time.
Hollis, in the playoffs.
Name one time.
I'm about to mute both your asses.
I know, but
let me just finish my thought. You're giving all your thoughts. I understand your perspective.
Hollis, you're muted right
I'm
now.
Telling you, in Give the playoffs. In the playoffs. NBA teams do not play 10-man lineups. They play 7 or 8. They don't have 4 bench players on the court at the same time. You're right. Those bench players have to show up and do what they're supposed to do. But it's unnatural to have, especially when the bench players aren't as good as Atlanta's bench players. You play 3 starters and you rotate it in. You don't have A team and B team. You just don't do that.
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think it's Ben Simmons' fault, and I don't think it's Doc Rivers' fault. I think it's whoever decided that Ben Simmons was the number one draft pick that year.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Okay. Fact. There was a question mark when it came to Ben's shooting.
Right.
Yes.
All right. And this was 2017. 16. All right. 5 years later. There's still a question mark.
No. There is no question mark.
There is no question mark.
Exactly. The question mark has been erased. There is no question mark.
Thank you. And that's the problem. All right. Ben is going to continually and constantly be under scrutiny because of his lack of ability to shoot the ball. And that is going to stick with him. And it's like water torture, man. You keep dropping a drop of water on your forehead.
continually, you're going to go absolutely effing crazy.
But,
and he is in the process.
No, no, no.
He's in the process of going crazy right now.
It's almost as if he doesn't want to get better.
Thank you.
Because in order to get better at something, you got to do it.
I think you got
to
fail.
You got to keep doing it.
I think he's capped.
He may be.
In 5 years in, and now he was one season, he was completely out. Yeah. So 4 years in. All right, 4 years in.
He was capped his rookie year.
Well, this is what you get. You cannot have a 6'10" guard.
Point guard, yeah.
That can't shoot the ball. Hollis.
Okay.
This is the part that bothers most fans, most Sixers fans, is every single summer we have to sit here and watch Ben Simmons play gym room basketball against waiters and bartenders without his shirt on as he's taking jump shots and 3-point shots. But the man can't do it in an NBA game. And it's so infuriating because this guy wants to live the limelight. He wants to drive these fancy cars. He wants to sign these mass contracts. He wants to date a Kardashian. He wants to do all that bull crap.
And guess what? Man can't all things considered, that's what I want to do too.
I get you. But
so far that formula doesn't sound too bad.
It sounded pretty good. Yeah.
But he doesn't do it where it's supposed to matter. You don't do it when crunch time comes, push comes to shove, that's when he does not perform. And that's the part that's most infuriating for all of us that are Sixers fans, both the diehards and the mediocre kind of casual fans and the casual fans. I mean, that is the part that sucks as a Sixers fan. Tank.
The money shouldn't infuriate you. The part that should infuriate you is he's playing basketball and he can't shoot. Point blank.
Right.
It's like everybody keeps talking about the money. It's like somebody got to get paid. It's like stay out of his pockets. Be a man. Be in your own pockets. Because point blank, we that's why I never talk about what anybody
does. Remember chess. We gotta go through the first two moves.
No, but this
before
this,
you get
this,
to the fourth one, because I just saw you jump.
The point that I'm jumping to is the fact that the reason why I don't get into his personal life. Damn his personal life. He needs to be practicing basketball.
Right.
Point blank. That's his job.
Right.
I don't even need him at this point. Sorry.
Get better at what you do.
It's not, and I get what you're saying. It's not that he can't shoot. It's that he won't shoot. And all those and you talk Danny Green, he's a new player this year. He's working hard in the gym. All the coaches he works
hard. Sam Cassell.
But Sam Cassell, these are respected guys that I believe. Danny Green, I think is
he's won what, three championships?
Yeah. And you know what it is? It's because he practices with bad form. And it doesn't work. It's not repeatable.
Yeah, but
you know, so it's the refusal to fail. You know, you said like you have to learn something new.
Right.
He's afraid to fail, or he's embarrassed, afraid of embarrassed. It's ego, and now it's in his head, and it's making him look even worse.
But
instead of just trying,
the fact that he won't shoot means that he refuses to get better. Mm-hmm. This is something
that
he's doing purposefully.
That's right.
Jamie Hollenbach, Diaz was just as annoying as the security guy last night.
The security guy.
This is a Kazarin. This guy was annoying.
It's all right. Just keep coming back
here. Keep
coming back
here. The funny part about this is, as we've been talking about this, he was the first overall pick. And the reason why is because of the process. The process stinks. This is why he hasn't learned to shoot yet. The process sucks donkey balls. Point blank. Because if you look at it, we were losing. And that was the culture that y'all were cheering. We were losing. So nobody was on his ass like they were supposed to be about learning to shoot.
Real quick, please. And I don't, this sounds so parochial and JV, but I want to put something on Doc Rivers, and it's, hey, Ben, it's 4:00. There's the free throw line. I'll see you at 5:00.
See, the thing is with that, which is the right thing to do, his practicing shooting like this, it's not going to get fixed. As long as his elbow out, he can keep practicing. And what people say is he doesn't practice.
Can you imagine?
He practices
ready for this?
Every single day.
You want to hear the worst stat?
What's that?
The Philadelphia 76ers have two first overall picks that look like absolute jackasses at the
foul.
Embiid
the third.
Excuse me.
He was the third overall.
Who's not here anymore?
Markelle Fultz.
Listen.
Two overall number one picks that look completely, I can't even say it,
like crap. No. But before you guys delve deep into this of the coach telling him what to do, You are a professional now. You need to take the onus on yourself.
That's right.
That's the one thing I learned when he was already a physical specimen still to this day. And it's like when you come in, it's like they don't teach you that because you're already supposed to know. You're supposed to follow the guys who've been doing it.
David Harris.
Yes.
Practice.
Talking about practice.
We're talking about practice. And it's weak practice. And I'm not there. I'm not in the room.
Coming in.
I don't want to make accusations or anything like that. But I think what happens is Ben, they try and coach him up and say, listen, man, you're going to have to, the ball's spinning out of the rim. You're going to have to alter your form. So he tries it and he's like, this sucks. I can't do it. And he goes back to his original form. He doesn't want to get better.
I think it's time to fire his shooting coach, which is a brother.
Yeah. He's fired other ones, and the brother's just always there.
Yeah, he needs to be fired.
I mean, he's getting embarrassed internationally here. There has to be, there's got to be a like.
I'm sorry, I thought this was Australian rules basketball.
The funny thing is you guys are making a quality case, but they're not going to do that. It's professional. This is a job. Nobody's going to hold his hand accountable.
You guys, we have a Greg Meisinger finger amount of time left.
Okay, good things. Mazel.
Are we about done here?
Yeah. I've never measured Greg Meisinger's finger.
He has half a finger. He got it cut off in an accident.
Gotcha.
Thanks.
Whenever you say, hey, man, one and a half, and Greg will give you this. Yeah.
Thanks for being our sponsor.
Well, all right.
Yeah, I don't look at his hands. It's okay.
Of the players, the guests.
All right. Sorry, everyone. Mr. Urban Fryer is on the hot seat when we get back. We are done.
Are you going to yell at me like you've been yelling at the Sixers?
No.
What do you think you invited here for?
No.
Were you practicing?
Other than Diaz ending a sentence in a preposition, don't worry. We'll take care of that.
Okay.
Everybody, Bud Light Green Legion Radio here on Fox Sports Philadelphia, brought to you by our good friends at MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. Closing the door on the Sixers and back with 17-year NFL veteran Irving Fryer.
How?
Right after this. It really doesn't matter if I'm playing Detroit Spinners because Jansen's going to have the Hooters playing when we come back. Slash is going to have Hooters playing.
No, when we come back from break, every segment I'll put Def Leppard on.
Perfect. Much rather have that.
I fired Slash the other day for that.
You know what?
So good.
It's everything we can do to get under Diaz's skin today.
I can't escape photograph. I can't escape it.
Everybody, Bud Light Green Legion Radio here on Fox Sports The Gambler in Philadelphia, brought to you by our good friends at MCS Residential, MCS Custom Cabinetry. You can reach them at 484-202-3656. That's 404-202-3656. What did I say? 404?
Yeah,
I'm calling Atlanta or somewhere. 484-202-3656.
Like, did they add a new branch?
Can check them out at mcsinc-pa.com. Mention the Green Legion and get 10% off of any residential contracting order. It's huge. And we're going to have a big, big promo coming up with them very shortly. If you live in a row home, your life is about to change, everybody. And I do mean that in every way.
Awesome sauce.
All right.
What's up, baby?
So.
Why is everybody looking at me?
I wouldn't look at you.
That's why we put you in that seat. Normally, we got to look at Sack. You're a much better looking man.
Right. I'm not disagreeing.
Everyone joining us here on Green Legion Radio, and he's been part of the show the first hour, and we are happy to have him, and we are talking all Eagles and all football the rest of the show. 17-year NFL vet, 3 years, two of them Pro Bowl years with your Philadelphia Eagles, number 80, Mr. Irving Fryer.
Yeah, buddy.
Good to be here. It's good to be here.
It is an absolute pleasure to have you, and at the top of the hour, we are going to make an incredible Vegas announcement. So make sure you guys hang around. We do appreciate you spending your Saturday afternoon with us here, sitting around, driving wherever you're going to the shore. You're stuck in traffic coming back from your weekly rental. Hey, we're here to entertain. But entertaining is what Hollis Thomas is about to do. Because I heard this story last night. All right. We have done plenty of shows, Irving, where we actually did the Diva special.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It was all about receivers. And,
wait a
and
minute.
Hold on a
we're
second.
We're supposed to be with divas.
You're not a diva.
You
man.
Are. You are not. You're kind of a badass.
You are a badass. I'm myself as a tough guy.
Yeah, you are a tough guy. Your name was not on the list.
Okay.
You're definitely not on that list. And one of the reasons. Well, I'll just pass this one over to Tank.
Well, we were. My rookie year. Maybe the second. It was my rookie year. So as a rookie, you still play sophomoreonic games. At the time, the game was to snap. When somebody walked up, fitted hats just came into style. So if you were not paying attention, they would snap your hat, they'd snatch your hat off, and everybody stomp it.
Hold on. Wait. Perfect.
Feeling the stomp will cause a hazard to your booty.
The best part about this story is I don't think Irving's aware of what
he's not going to be aware until I get to
the part.
I know what happened because I did it.
Yeah, because what ended up happening was he said he caught wind of what was going down, and he said, "You suckers better not grab my hat off my head and throw it down and start stomping it." So somebody got the brass. It wasn't me.
It was Ike.
Yes, it was. snatched his hat and threw it on the ground. But when everybody went to start stomping it, first of all, he grabbed a stool. And he grabbed this thing that was in his locker. Looked like a knife.
Hold on. Keep going. But I got, I'm looking for the, Crocodile Dundee. That's not a knife.
This is a knife.
So he grabbed a stool and threw it, and one guy going over there and stomp on his hat. And when he threw the stool, it came out with it was like a little leather thing. It was leather thing about yay long.
That's a machete. That's not a knife.
Well, I was looking at it from afar. I was talking trash before that, but when I saw, hey, you got to know.
Weren't you a rookie?
Yeah, but I was still talking trash.
All right.
At that point, when the game was going on, I had endeared myself to the team as a jokester a little bit, but not to that magnitude.
Shocker.
But it was so funny though, because if you could have seen everybody ducking and booting once he threw that stool, and then he came across, because everybody thought you had to strap it first. But all you had was a knife. Mm-hmm.
I think that's worse.
But nobody else had anything else. And that was so funny, though.
Sometimes you got to teach the young bucks a lesson.
You
guys were getting out of hand. The hat that I had on my head was a new hat.
I know.
One of the first times I had it on my head.
Yep.
And I told them, I said, I know you're playing this game. Mm-hmm. Do not come take my hat off my head and stomp on it. Yep. If you do, then there's going to be a problem. And sure enough,
yep.
I guess Ike grew some testicles.
Oh yeah, no, hold
on. Charles Ramsey,
you got to have some big testicles to pull this off, bro.
He ran through the locker room, ran by me, snatched my hat. But before they could stop it, I had that stool in my hand. Yep. And I threw it at him. I missed him.
So did you knock him out like we did in the 64 team crossing broad bracket?
You damn right in the first round, baby.
I missed him.
But it looked
that wasn't on purpose though.
It looked vicious. But
catching. You're not throwing the ball.
it looked vicious, and you tell him I saw what was going down, but you have to know is what you don't mess with is an older guy who you feel like may have a blade.
what was Ike's reaction when you did this?
They were running.
Everybody froze and started running.
Everybody scattered like roaches.
Let me tell you what, the game stopped.
Roaches with the lights on.
It ended with you.
The game stopped.
There was no more hat stopping after that.
I don't know if they did it anymore, but they didn't do it in front of me.
No, they didn't do it. Yeah. No, it immediately stopped. It's like, well, it's time to cut that game out. It was one other one that I know he's going to get to.
We'll get to it in a little bit.
I get to it. You just kick it back to me when you get to when Gru Dog left us.
Oh, you're going to talk about Dana
Bible.
Yeah.
It was bad.
That cat there, man. Did I go out again?
All right, everybody.
They can still hear you.
Irving Fryer.
You still hear me?
From Mount Holly, New Jersey. Went to Rancocas Valley. Went to Nebraska. Averaged 19.5 yards per carry or per reception in your final year, which is ridiculous. Ultimately led to being chosen as the number one pick by the NFL in the NFL draft by the Patriots in 84.
17-year career. Again,
it says make fun of Tank.
Make fun of Tank. 5-time Pro Bowler. Interesting how that went about too, because it was 85, then it was 95, 85, then 94, 95.
Yeah.
96, 97, 98.
My first 2 years in Miami, then my first 2 years in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah. After an 8-year hiatus or 7-year hiatus, after, you know, your sophomore year when you were killing it.
There was a reason for that.
We're going to get to that too. You haven't picked up the run sheet. You don't have to.
Yeah.
But I have some really, I think, great questions for you. And I know the rest of the panel has as well. And we're going to get to all of them. So 5-time Pro Bowler. Two-time second team All-Pro, Bart Starr Award in 1998. Mm-hmm. That's a hell of an accomplishment. You've caught touchdowns from 19 different passers. This is an NFL record.
Wow.
Still stands today.
And he's not in the Hall of Fame.
About 14 of them were from the Eagles.
Not quite that many. Well, there were
a few. Well, I think your first year, we had 3 quarterbacks.
Yeah. There's
Tony Eason, Steve Grogan, and I want to say Tommy Hodson.
And Mark Rippon.
Yes, Mark Rippon. Yes. Jeff Drew. I caught some balls from Jeff Drew
too, yeah.
First player ever to record a touchdown in 17 consecutive seasons. First player ever. I don't want to say this, but oldest player to score 4 touchdowns in a game.
Damn.
This is in October of.
I was here.
2017.
He was on that day.
Well, yeah, you were 34 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on that day.
When you did that. Third most receiving yards in a half, 211.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's top 25 in almost every receiving category all time.
Well, that's because they throw the ball so much now, man.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
They
I hear you.
It all the time.
I mean, so you played in Super Bowl 20.
Mm-hmm.
Against the famed Buddy Ryan defense. But I believe, wait. Weren't you the only one to have a touchdown for the Patriots in that game? It was like 40. I know you don't want to relive this. It was shellacking.
We got beat bad. Yeah.
40 something to 10.
I saw that game again a few months ago, and I didn't realize we played so bad. It was like schlep rock.
I don't know what you're gonna.
If a thing could go wrong, guys were dropping balls that normally didn't drop balls. Guys were fumbling the ball that normally didn't fumble the ball. The quarterback was throwing the ball away. He didn't normally play like that.
So the New England Patriots were Ben Simmons in that
particular game.
Well, that means Ben Simmons. No, because they actually did it in the regular season.
I got you.
Turned bad in the Super Bowl.
That's good analysis, Diaz.
All right, I want to ask you this: your career, 17 years. Your first 8 were with New England,
right,
who drafted you. Right. Then you had 3 years with Miami. You had 3 years with Philly, and then you had 2 years with Washington. We'll get to that. I don't give a crap. Bike incident thing coming out of retirement, whatever. I could give less a.
It's an interesting story, though.
It is an interesting story.
You may want to know the details of that.
You know what? I think symbolism in this town is very prevalent. And that bike thing. I know you had words for people.
Can I say something?
Hey, you should give that bike back, and you gave it back like a year ago.
Can I say something?
Sure.
You can ask me whatever. I've been delivered from people. I don't give a fart what people think or what people say
fart,
anymore.
That's good. So,
fart,
you said fart. Yeah.
That's my curse word.
He said fart.
It's okay because we say get the fudge out of here all the time.
Slash almost wrote that down.
I've been delivered.
I'm not trying to avoid any topics with you at all.
I'm going to tell it like it is.
No, and just so everybody knows, before we started the show tonight, Irving said ask any question about anything. He's open to all on-field, off-field topics. There's nothing that's taboo, and that's a man that's found his path.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get back to that after we come back at the top of the hour here on Bud Light Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, Philadelphia, brought to you by our good friends at MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry right after this. Working our sweat here on Bud Light Green Legion Radio. Brought to you by our good friends at MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry with Irving Fryer in the house. Happy as hell to have you here. All right.
You guys are real.
More happy. Accolades, but. All right.
Accolades. Come on, let's talk about something else.
All right, good. Accolades. Let's do that.
Your career in the NFL, first round, first overall, and
you're a worthy first overall.
Yes.
Yes.
And your statistics for your first 8 years mm-hmm. with New England.
Nine. I was with them for 9 years.
He would know best.
Yeah. I try to tell you sometimes they have this stuff wrong in there. So
it seemed.
Don't believe everything you read.
It seemed as though you guys can all kiss my ass. Straight up.
Quibi got that off of Wikipedia.
I don't remember this crap.
Wikipedia.
Typo. It seemed like after you left New England, your career really started to flourish. And this is 9 years into your career. And I want to ask you, did you feel like you were being utilized to the full extent of your talents in New England? Because you look back at your statistics and you only had one Pro Bowl year with New England out of nine.
That was as a punt returner.
Okay.
That was a punt
returner. And then 4 out of your next 5 years, 2 with Miami and 2 with Philadelphia, mm-hmm. you're in the Pro Bowl. And these are years 10 through 14.
Right.
Which never happens. You're not
never
a Pro Bowl.
It never happens. Wide receivers are not a fine wine. Mm-hmm. They don't get better with age.
Let me say this about my first 9 years in the league in New England. To me, what was happening, no, I didn't feel like I was being underutilized or my talent wasn't being used or maximized, because what was happening there was what I was used to always happening. And what I'm referring to back in college. In college, I didn't catch the ball that much. I didn't see the ball that much. When I maybe averaged touching the ball 4 times a game. And that was it. That's the way it was in New England. We played old school smash mouth football. We ran the ball and set up the pass.
Love that.
We did not have, and things started transitioning into the new wave of throwing the ball maybe about 6 years into my time there in New England, but we didn't change. We had a philosophy. There were no audibles. We would come to the line of scrimmage and we had a play that was called in the huddle. If the defense was in a defense that could stop that play, we just chalked that up as a loss and we kept moving. There was no audibling at the line of scrimmage. When I went to Miami, and I was my first day in training camp in Miami.
You were with Marino.
Yeah, I was with Marino.
Yeah.
But he got hurt one of those years. But my first day in minicamp, I'm running, man, I'm flying. I was fast back then. I was flying around in practice. And Shula comes up to me and he says, Irving, what are you doing? I said, I'm kicking y'all behind just like I was when I was in New England. Now I'm doing it every day with you. I'm wearing them out. That's why you brought me here. I'm wearing them out. He says, well, listen, why are you running so fast? Slow down and set your guy up. Dan's got to get back in the pocket, set his feet, make a guy miss, and the line has to hold up in time enough for you to get open. I'm like, what? That's not
I've been doing.
Yeah. What I've been doing was hurry up and get open. Straight line, hurry up and get to that point and get open. We had a clock in practice all the time in New England. You had 3 seconds. If the ball wasn't released in practice by 3 seconds, 2.5, 3 seconds, we chalked it up as a loss. And that's not the way it was when I got to Miami. When I got to Miami, man, we had the freedom to color our routes, to be creative in our routes. That game where I caught those 211 ball.
Hold on, real fast. I got to point it out, right? Okay,
go ahead.
Luis Dominguez Jr. Sam, keep that up. All right. I lived in South Beach for 5 years.
Okay.
And one of my closest friends in the world is Louise.
Okay.
Who is a huge Miami Dolphins fan. Irving, thanks for your time with Miami. And this is before you even started talking about it. One of the best performances in team history on opening day, 211 yards and 3 touchdowns, including the game winner.
Yes.
Louise, your ass should be up here meeting him. You suck. Louise. But I'm sorry, please.
But that game, that was the first game of the season. It was against the New England Patriots. I had caught a few balls already in the second half. Now it's 4th down, 5 yards to go. I think we're on our own 45. We have no timeouts left. The play is called in the huddle. Dan comes up to the line of scrimmage and gives me a hand signal. Now the play is off and it's just he and I. We didn't do that. I never did that.
None of that.
I never did that before.
Did you have any of that in Nebraska, or was it the same regiment?
The same regiment.
Okay.
We ran the ball. Mike got the ball 30 times a game. Yeah. I didn't see the ball. Mike was the man.
Really? You said about Nebraska?
Yeah. I was split out in a 3-point stance.
Hold on a second. You asked that about Nebraska, the Cornhuskers, with Mike Rozier.
Mike Rozier, yeah, Heisman.
Mike Rozier.
Yeah, that was
Tommy Frazier.
Back was. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because the Cornhuskers never really passed.
No, we didn't.
No, I wasn't.
The Cornhuskers.
No. It wasn't that. I know they ran the ball. Mm-hmm. What I was saying is, if you ever had any of that type of freedom,
no.
In Nebraska,
no.
That's what I was asking.
So that was like dying and going to heaven, and then I was able to evolve in my game as a receiver. As a result of being in Miami and running a different type of offense than obviously coming here to Philadelphia, West Coast offense, John Gruden, he threw the ball all the time. It was great. We had Ricky Waters, had a running threat, so we were able to have a good balance.
Ricky?
Yeah.
T-Rex?
For what? I know. And then North Turner down in Washington, you know, he throws the ball.
So. How did that guy have a career?
Norv. I like Norv.
Good offense. Norv is a good offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
I like Norv.
He's a great
offensive coordinator. Yeah. Bad head coach. How many years did he get away in San Diego?
He got away a bunch. He got away a bunch of places.
A long time in San Diego.
Question for you. Yes, I'm sorry, Chris. You have something for him first.
Well, no, because you teased it coming into the top of the hour, and you didn't say anything. This is the perfect time right now to tell everybody where Louise can meet Irving Fryer if you do want to make.
That's right.
Let's go ahead. Let's tell him where he can.
I'm sorry, I had to Fryer. I had to poop during the break. I lost my mind.
I teed it up for you. You just
everybody, just so you know, if you would like to meet Irving Fryer, the Caesars Palace Green Legion tailgate party now consists of our man Hollis Tank Thomas, Lito Shepherd,
Lito,
Speedo Lito,
and Irving Fryer has agreed to join us in Las Vegas for the weekend as well. We appreciate
that's going
that.
To, no, I appreciate it.
And he's not just coming to hang out the tailgate. He's doing something special at the tailgate.
It turns out we're going to have a wedding, baby. I don't know what you're doing, Keenan.
On the hot seat over here right now.
Yes, he is.
Just so you know, Keenan and Pam are going to get married at our tailgate by the Reverend Irving Fryer.
That's
another Eagles miracle. That's the doctor, Reverend.
That's fantastic.
The doctor, Reverend.
When they say a Reverend Doctor,
Reverend Doctor.
Yeah, Reverend Doctor.
Now I'm not going to ask you. This will be Irving's first time going to Vegas.
It will ever. Be. Yeah, I've never been to Vegas. Ever. Vegas before.
Yeah. It's party time.
Uh-oh.
I refuse to get you in trouble.
I was going to say,
I'm
going to
get him in trouble.
Be gentle with me.
You don't have to worry about driving home there.
We going to town.
He's your responsibility.
Don't ask what it is. Just go.
Don't ask what it is. Just go.
Just follow me.
Listen, the last time I didn't ask what it was, I ended up in prison. I can't do that.
Hold on.
Well, just know with me.
I can't be stupid like that.
Stays in Vegas.
And trust me, I can't.
Way to bring this show down.
I can't trust somebody blindly like I did before.
I respect that.
Yeah. But that doesn't happen anymore.
But just know this. The Tank does not want to go to prison. So it's going to be something safe.
Hey, Irving didn't want to go to prison either.
Yeah, it's going to be you little juicy in the pen, bro.
Uh-oh.
I would disrespect a bunch of people. Yeah. I'm just letting you know.
No. Go ahead.
I have a question, and I tried to find this out in every possible media outlet before you got on the show.
Just ask when you call me.
Were you an Eagles fan before or when you were growing up?
No.
You weren't?
No.
Uh-oh. All right, get out.
It's not that I don't like the Eagles.
I mean, you're from Mount Holly. That's why.
Right. I wasn't a sports fan. Okay. I mean, I could play sports. I was a three-sport athlete in high school. When I graduated from high school, I really did not want to go to college, let alone play football in college. My plan, I had a couple of uncles who were Marines. I wanted to be a Marine and fly jets off of aircraft carriers. That's what I wanted to do. But because I was being recruited by these schools and had an opportunity to go to college, my mother made me go to college. So my plan when I went to college was to be a climatologist, you know, take those kind of classes.
Climatologist?
Meteorology. Yeah, meteorology. Graduate with my degree in meteorology, go into the Marines as an officer, and fly jets. But then I played football pretty good. So around my junior
pretty good?
Yeah, junior, senior year, they started talking about professional.
Well, you only
football.
Played 3 years.
When I got,
were you a redshirt freshman?
No.
You just played your.
The freshman didn't play varsity ball. I did a letter my freshman year though.
Okay.
Yeah, I did a letter. So when I came home after my senior year, we were homeless. My mother said, "We need a house. Go play football." So I ended up playing football.
Yep. I hear you.
Irvin, you said you were a three sport athlete. Now, what were the other two sports that you played along with football?
Track and baseball.
Okay. Yeah. So, was football your first love?
Baseball was my first love.
What position did you pitch?
I was a pitch. I was a center fielder.
That's awesome. Yes, man. I'm a huge baseball fan. Yes. So
can you still play? Cool. Really? The Phillies could use
you have to tell me.
Have you heard about my show, Irvin? Have you heard about my show?
Actually, I did get a request from an employee of mine who's been there. He wants you to come down to one of our Bud Light baseball brunch.
Yeah, you can pay for the appearance fee.
Okay.
I already have one jackass spending my money ridiculously.
I got a question though. You said baseball and track, both spring sports. So did you?
No, winter track.
Did you just play baseball on Saturday and show up for the meets?
It was winter track. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
I played basketball 1 year, my freshman year, but after that I ran track.
If you were in the MLB, do you think you would ever go 0-33?
No.
Okay.
I didn't know John Jansen was sitting in for Slash today.
0-33 is a long time. Whoever that is, he's in his own head right now.
No, I got something that's gonna make you chuckle. Now we were talking during the break about one day in the Bible.
Man, he was bad.
He was god awful,
horrible.
But you didn't know this. He would come and take a dump in the defensive locker room and never wash his hands.
Ew.
Ew.
All the defensive coaches knew it. And said, if you ever noticed, they always shied away from him during practice.
Wow.
He would come in there and walk right out.
You know what people don't know is almost we were bad that year.
God awful.
We went through training camp. He installed his plays. And normally when you go through training camp, the plays you're installing usually are the foundation of your offense for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through training camp, and after training camp, he started off with the first game of the year, he started off with a whole new playbook. So we started off not even running what we ran for 3-4 weeks in training camp.
There's another thing that you didn't know about Dana Bible. They hired him while Ray Bob was on vacation.
Wow. Well, here's something.
Was he a mumbling, stuttering?
But yeah, he was bad. But here's what happened about maybe halfway through the season.
What was the kid's name in Goodfellas?
Put him in a
Spider.
Corner.
Spider.
Spider.
You mumbling, stuttering.
He was so bad. He was actually fired. They didn't fire him, but they took away his duties.
They gave him the
as the offensive coordinator, and they gave him the Bill Musgrave.
Yeah,
so we come in on a Wednesday. That's when we do installation of the new plays for the next game. We come in on Wednesday. Musgrave is standing in front of everybody in the offensive room. He's trying to install the offensive plays. He can't talk because it's the first time he's ever done it. He stops and he apologizes to everybody. He says, listen.
Was he nervous?
Yes. Yeah. He said, I've never done this before. You guys have to forgive me. And he had to stop the meeting because I just knew that we went from bad to worse.
Yeah.
It just got real bad. Now he's turned out to be really good.
Real fast. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to go ahead here. Just so you know. Bastard. just so you know, Irving has to leave before our final segment here today. So when we have our final segment, our kick-ass or jackass is going to be July list of month-long observations. By the way, just so you know, and it's highlighted at the bottom, July is Freedom from Fear of Speaking Month.
Wow.
Perfect timing.
Yep. Thank you.
No one has
thank you for that layup, baby.
Yeah, no one has that fear.
Not really. I don't think we have a fear of speaking. I think we have a fear of being judged because we don't agree with everything that's going on.
No, I think we're talking about Dana Bible right now.
Yeah, we're talking about Dana Bible.
Well, he was awful.
Yeah, and then
God awful.
Yeah, God awful.
And I, like an idiot, when I found out, you know, I was living in Miami at the time during the offseason. When I found out that we hired somebody named Bible, I was like, oh, yeah, this is pretty good. Somebody
right,
named
right,
Bible.
Right
yeah.
in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not so much. Yep,
being a devil.
Swing the bat. It was just
about it's a 92-mile-an-hour slider.
he was horrible. And, that, and the jacked up part was, well, I love John Gruden.
He's best.
He's like one of the best as an offense coordinator.
He was the worst.
Here?
No.
Here.
Listen, yeah, here.
John Gruden.
John Gruden is a man.
Awesome. John Gruden is the best coach I've ever played for. Dude, John Gruden.
He gets
Grudol. He's the best coach. Yes.
He was so predictable.
He was a dude. We scored.
You don't know what you're talking about.
John Gruden.
During the Ricky Waters era, he would pass on first down, run on second, and pass on third.
I don't know. I'm going to trust the 17-year NFL vet, first pick overall, best coach he's ever played.
John Gruden was the best coach I've ever played.
And that's the basic. When you say what you're saying, that's the basic makeup of a NFL offense. NFL offense that works. That was number one, point blank.
I have a clip from Half Baked I want to play right now.
Sure.
You're cool. you wouldn't like that clip.
My first year, I think it was my first year with the Eagles. Who was it? Ty Detmer and myself.
Tyrone Detmer.
We were the leading quarterback receiver combination in the league that year.
Yep. I was just gonna tell him. Did you know? Well, he knew. Did you know your first year with the Eagles was my first year in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he didn't know that though.
Oh yeah,
I knew that.
You didn't know it yesterday.
It doesn't matter about yesterday.
He knows it today.
Kirby's getting exposed.
It was 20-plus years ago, you old bastard.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
You were 6 years out of college.
I got more questions.
More questions.
It's only you one can of us. Shut up. You can shut up. You never talk, and you're good.
But 6 years out of college, you're the only one in here that went to college.
All right, great. Like I said, you shut up. All right. You get to the Super Bowl in your second year as a player.
Yes, sir.
I'm curious to know, first of all, the amount and talking to Hollis, who's one of my best friends in the world, and his trials and tribulations as he was coming to the end of his career at 15 years. 17 is just an absolutely outstanding
number.
Well,
15 is too.
It is.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering what drove you to play that long in the league. I'm wondering if it was getting to the Super Bowl in that second year of yours.
That had nothing to do with it.
If you were just trying to get back to that glory. Tell me what?
I'm trying to get you to know that he took a year off and then came back for another couple of years.
He didn't take a year off.
I
was retired for an offseason.
He retired for the offseason. Okay. And it didn't sit well with Eagles fans because he came back as a Redskin.
Brett Favre did it five times.
And I would like him to clear that up, please.
Yeah, can I address that first?
I would like to know both and address however you want to do it.
Let me address the Washington Redskin thing first, and then we can come back to the
football team.
The football team.
Oh, God.
Washington football team. I think they should have named them something else too.
You teach me to football?
My last year here in Philadelphia, everything was going crazy. Everything was going bad. Dana Bible was here. The team was falling apart. Yeah, Bobby Hoeing, you know, Bobby Hoeing was playing well the year before.
Oh, he fell down the rabbit hole pretty quick.
Well, Gruden was coaching him. That's why he was being successful. Dana Bible could not coach him. So we were struggling. I had that broken toe. I broke my toe the first game of the season. So I played the whole season.
And a 4-inch syringe ready to go in that thing.
I played the whole season like that with a broken sesamoid bone in my big toe. Tom Modrak. Now, my plan was, I had one more year left on my contract. My plan was to finish my contract here in Philadelphia, then retire. About three quarters of the way through the season, Tom Modrak comes to me, calls me in his office, says, Irvin, you're not playing well. You kind of fell off the wagon, this, that, and the other. Yeah, that's what he said to me. I kept all of this quiet. You guys are hearing this stuff for the first time.
Excellent. Yeah. Here, Green Legion exclusive, Green Legion Radio exclusive.
So we came to the agreement that I would, because he said, we're going to let you go at the end of the season. I said, okay, well, let me go talk to my wife. Went and talked to my wife. We agreed I would retire at the end of the season. Okay. So That's what I did. I wasn't ready to retire, but that's what I did. They gave me the motorcycle. And the funny thing is, I wasn't ready.
Everything revolves around this stupid effing motorcycle.
Right. Yeah,
the
motorcycle.
So obviously I went and got my toe fixed. I found out my toe wasn't broken. They told me I had turf toe. I found out my toe was broken at the end of the season, went and got it fixed. Now I'm thinking to myself, okay, I can play some more. If this happens, that happens. If they say this, somebody says that, then I'll take the deal. Washington called. Everything fell in place. I gave the motorcycle back. They didn't want it back. I sold the motorcycle, gave the money to the Eagles Youth Challenge. I guess it was a youth challenge they have.
Youth charity they have.
I gave the money to them and went to Washington so I could play to get this nasty taste.
The people that call in at WIP were the ones that were pissed.
They're a bunch of clowns anyway.
We have to do what we have to do. But they didn't know all the what went down, and I didn't tell anybody. I just kept my mouth shut and did what I had to do.
Let's keep going here, although I think we are almost out of time. Should we wrap this up and come back in?
Should we wrap it up?
Urban, one more segment with you. Sure. And we've got 15 minutes, and it's all you, baby.
Okay.
When we come back. You guys, Bud Light Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports Radio Philadelphia with Irving Fryer in studio, as well as the rest of the cast of characters, Tank Diaz, Sack, and Slash, and Sam doing something in another room somewhere.
She's giggling.
Yeah. Everybody, we'll be back right after this. Legion Radio, Bud Light Green Legion Radio, here on Fox Sports The Gambler, Philadelphia. And brought to you by our good friends at MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry. Reach out to them at 484-202-3656. That's 484-202-3656. Or www.mcsinc-pa.com for all of your residential contracting needs. Tank, I think, is lost in the bathroom somewhere. It's all good. We are back here with wide receiver legend Irving Fryer. We have a lot of questions still to get to, and we only have, well, probably 14 minutes now after my intro. I have a couple questions for you. One, and then I want to hand it over to the rest of the guys here. All right. Orange Bowl. 1984.
I knew it.
No. We talked about, We all know the infamous drop pass, and it was so unlike you, but it didn't matter.
Well, that was the only pass I dropped that year. I was devastated.
Hold on. We all saw what happened to you in the back of the end zone after you dropped that pass.
I was devastated.
Your teammates had to come pick you up because you were so upset with that. But I don't want to ask that question. That's not where I'm going with this. You come back. All right. You got a 25-yard run from Rozier.
That was Jeff Smith.
Oh, Jeff Smith.
Jeff Smith.
Okay.
Jeff Smith.
Yes. To tie it.
Down by one. Yes.
And you guys decide to go for two.
Uh-huh.
Tell me what goes through your head there.
We're going to win.
You're going to win. It wasn't even a question.
It wasn't a second thought. Never hesitated. Never, why are we doing this? None of that. I think we should have ran a different play. No, seriously. I think we should have just ran it because we ran the ball well. We just scored off a 25-yard run. We can't get a yard and a half on a run instead of throwing the ball. That's not what we did. We didn't. That was not our bread and butter. Our bread and butter was not throwing the ball.
Right.
But let me tell you about that play. When I got to Miami, my first year in Miami, I'm in practice. The defensive coordinator, Lou Alavadati, we're in practice and he's talking to me. It must have been in the practice, but he's talking to me. He brings that up. He was one of the coaches for the University of Miami at that game. He said, you know why we were able to, because they defended the play perfectly.
Perfect.
It's not that we dropped
knocked the pass out.
They were there before we got there. They were in every spot. He said, we were able to defend that play because we went back and we watched film and we just happened to run across when you guys went for 2 points. We were looking to see when you guys had gone for
two points. And you ran that same damn play.
We went for 2 points one time that season and we ran that same play.
Oh, that's terrible. That's the days before.
So we were actually outcoached on that play.
That's when you had to like literally watch film. So these guys are like scouring.
It was reel to reel.
Reel to reel.
I mean, Doug Peterson ran out of 2-point plays last year against the Ravens.
Thank you, Zach.
Yeah, no, drum, we got a drum thing for that. Wah, 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 wah.
No, hold on. Those are the old school days. I still wah, have it. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah.
Baseball brunch, everybody.
Diaz.
Listen, happy and excited that you're here. Just some questions
sure.
about your career and kind of what you see now. If I can just get two quick ones off. What I'd like to know, I'll ask them both and then turn it over to you. Who was your toughest matchup in the NFL? Who was the corner or whoever was mm-hmm. your toughest defender? And also, out of the current NFL wide receivers, who do you look at? Like, who do you think your game, if you play today, like what player for those that didn't get to watch you play, who would you kind of compare yourself to? So your toughest matchup when you played, and then who do you kind of compare yourself to? Okay. Who would you compare yourself to?
Well, I wouldn't compare myself to anybody in the NFL, and I wouldn't compare anybody to me. Why? And people kind of put the crown on Hines Ward for being a physical receiver, but Hines Ward was following me. I'm not trying to brag.
It was a different, rules and everything.
I was about to say before you asked him that question, he was a different animal. I watched him play. I was only privy to watch him play 2 years, but I've seen him before that. And when you see what he did when he did it, and it's not a fear factor now. So you can't,
right.
when you actually were a receiver from back in the day, you know how many hands was on him before he got off the line, how much he had to do to get off the line. And then not only that, you had to be thinking about guys perusing the middle, Chuck Cecil's, mm-hmm. the Ronnie Lott's, all those guys. They don't have to worry about that now.
Right.
So you to ask them that, that's like, yeah.
It's different rules.
Plus, I was a physical receiver.
Yeah.
I was in my 9 years at New England, I was more interested in being a heat-seeking missile than I was catching balls. I would tell a guy, if you catch the ball, run towards
Speaking
me.
Speaking of heat-seeking missiles, have you been to Delilah's with Holly?
Said, yeah. If you catch the ball, run towards me because the guy that's chasing you, he's going to get it.
Yeah. And speaking of he's going to get it, what did you think when Zach Ertz, Olay Vontaze Burfict in the Cincinnati game? Vontaze Burfict, the dirtiest player known to man, he chased your quarterback, and you have a blind shot D cleaner to put him on his ass, and you just let him go by.
No, you don't. He Olay'd him.
Yes, my bad. He Olay'd
him. You don't Olay. No, you got to let him have it.
Exactly.
Man. With everything you got, let him have it.
Well, then who was your toughest match?
So I wouldn't compare myself to anybody.
That's fair.
Now, Amari Cooper is a guy that I really like. He's not real fast. I was a fast guy.
Cowboy.
Yes. Well, I'm not saying cowboy. His game is awesome. The way he sets guys up, how he makes his cuts to catch the ball, his knowledge of
the
game.
He's not the fastest guy in the league, but his routes are crisp. Yes.
And he's great with the double move. Just ask Jalen Mills.
He's great.
Hold on. The double move. I've seen this man. This man is he's a master of the double move. And it was one play that I don't know if you remember. You ran out like real, real fast, and you act like you was walking back to the huddle, but the play wasn't over, and then you took off and you caught a touchdown. It might have been one of the four touchdowns.
Hold the phone here. All right,
it was sweet.
The double move is never made by the receiver. All right, it's made by the offensive line. If you have enough, it's so easy to sell a 5 yard out.
No. You didn't hear what I said, though, did you? I wasn't listening.
I don't listen.
No. Okay, listen.
I spend every day with you. I don't listen to you anymore. Okay, my wife.
So listen, you have to listen to the play. So he took off. No, he took off real, real fast, but then he started walking back to the huddle like the play was over.
Oh, and then that's what you would do?
In the game,
the only way that is made is the offensive line getting your quarterback enough time to sell that.
That's true.
Yeah. But it was sweet, though. Go ahead.
So my toughest corner was, and you probably will be surprised by this, but it was Raymond Claiborne. And one of the reasons it was Raymond Claiborne, that's when I was in New England.
Raymond, is that you? Nah, this ain't Raymond.
One of the reasons was because when I came to the NFL,
right.
I came in the NFL not as a wide receiver. I really didn't play wide receiver at Nebraska. So I had to learn. I was in three-point stance. I had to learn.
You're a flanker?
Flanker or slot? Slot.
Okay, slot back. Okay.
Yeah. So I had to learn how to stand in two-point stance and get around this guy that's standing right in front of me. And Raymond was tall, a little bit taller than me. Raymond was just as fast as me, and Raymond's arms were very long.
Oh, dear.
And
Lord.
He was a Pro Bowl corner.
And you could hit more.
So he was, because I had to face him every day.
Right.
Every day. So he was my toughest.
I got to do it, guys. I got to do it.
He's going to play something from White Man Can't Jump. I don't. You have to. We put
the absolute anything.
Hey, give me your money, Raymond. That's you.
No, no, no. Just say Raymond. Nah,
take off that damn mask and put down that gun.
Raymond, that's what he would do. Take the gun so he get some money.
Yeah. And then he came back.
Yo, man, like, I got me a couple chumps on the line, man. Let me $300. Come on.
He's like, you know what? I'm gonna go get my other gun for my car.
Yeah,
man, shoot everybody
out here.
But now, so who was your toughest guy in the game? Because it's like, to be honest, I was like, I think he was in the era where it was the competition level was there. But like now, you can't touch a receiver,
right?
And
right.
So when you ask him to compare himself to anybody, it's kind of hard to do that when the competition level is not the exact same,
right?
Because so in a game situation, who was the hardest guy you had to go against?
I would say the two were Aeneas Williams and Deion.
Okay,
we know Aeneas Williams pretty well,
and people didn't understand what you needed to do against Deion to be successful. Obviously, Deion's considered to be one of the greatest of all time.
Prime time,
but you couldn't.
I would go with Flame. I don't know about Boyan.
We try to throw the ball down the field, Deion. You can't throw the ball down the field. You got to throw stuff in front of him. You got to do slants. You got to do quick outs, things like that, curls, things that
trying to make him tackle.
Exactly. Yeah, but they're trying to throw post on Deion, trying to throw goes on Deion, comebacks on Deion. You can't do that because the cat's so fast.
And
he's going to get to a certain point. He will backpedal to 16, 17 yards because that's where most of the tree, you know, the route trees ends. Right. He'll back.
And that was basically the average reception for you during your NFL career.
He'll back up about to about 17 yards. 18 yards and stop because he knows if the only other thing you can do is run by him and he'll catch up to you. If the ball's not thrown perfect, he'll be able to get to make up for the difference.
You averaged 15 yards per reception in your career.
That doesn't happen anymore.
That is ridiculous.
Doesn't happen anymore.
You have people catching 100 passes with one touchdown, Keyshawn Johnson.
Or they catch 100 passes and don't have 1,000 yards.
Well, no! Irvin, you had the privilege to play with Dan Marino as your quarterback.
Well, I think it was Dan's privilege to play.
I understand the premise. What was it like to play with Dan Marino? And outside of Dan Marino, I think obviously he's the best quarterback you ever played with.
Yes.
Who was the second?
It was great to play with Dan because again, it was like I was born again, going down into Miami and being a part of that type of wide open kind of
born again, a Christian reference in such a devilish place.
Yes. So it was great to play
shots
with
anybody.
Dan. And Dan and I had a great relationship.
I just took one.
But when you talk about everybody else in terms of the standard of quarterback, most of the guys, other than Dan, were either average or below average that I played with.
When you look at it, once you left Miami, you came here.
Finish this one up, but we got to get to his podcast.
Okay.
We only have 3 minutes left.
Listen, so, can you guys invite me back?
No. You will come back.
Yeah, can you invite me back?
Please. So the only thing I was going to say was when you came here, obviously it was my first year. You played with Tyrone Detmer, Rodney Peete.
Coy Detmer, Bobby Hoyne.
Is that Coy Rodney Detmer?
No, just Coy. We called Tyrone Tyrone because he was we had a guy on the team named Michael Sampson, and he made four of them. Yes, we call him Scrampton because he can spell.
We know Sampson.
Sampsonite. I was way off.
He said
start with an S though.
He said the word for the day is job. G O B. You remember that now, don't you? Yeah. So, but that's all. That's all I want to say. But he has played with some weird quarterbacks.
Real fast, because we know we have to get out of here after this segment. We only have 3 minutes left. Talk to us about your podcast. Tell us what you're doing. Make sure our listening audience knows, because I believe we haven't finalized anything, but I think we probably did. Irving's podcast is going to be part of Green Legion Radio. He's going to be on our website. We're happy to have him.
Yes. Yes.
The iHeartRadio crew is going to pick up the podcast as well, but why don't you tell people about your podcast, everything, 3 minutes of open forum now.
Podcast is going to be called The Fryer Place, where the conversations are fire.
Yes.
We're going to start on July 2nd. It's a Friday. We're going to be live YouTube. My YouTube channel will be The Fryer Place. It's going to be called The Fryer Place. So make sure you look it up and subscribe, please.
We'll get that taken care of.
And we're going to be talking to former athletes, former NFL players. I have on July 2nd, I have a guy named Ricky Williams who played with me in college, played in the USFL. You know who Ricky Williams is? Yeah. I mean, not Ricky Williams, Ricky Simmons. I'm sorry.
I was about to say, hold on, I'd like to give you my entire draft, Dicka. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So Ricky Simmons is my first guest, and then Tony Collins is my second guest. Nice. And our theme for those first couple of weeks is from the NFL to the prison cell, then and now. So we're going to be talking about our experience, obviously, not just football, but talking about life's experiences and, you know, that. The ups and the downs, how we make it, how our faith carried us through. Just regular conversations from regular guys, but it's going to get hot because we're going to talk about things. Because
it's in the fireplace.
Because it's in the fireplace.
That sounds tremendous.
So when you have me on, I get to come out to your crib, right?
Yeah, you come. Yes, and I am going to do something from the house, but yes, you'll be able to come out to your crib.
His house is awesome. I'm just saying.
Hoss just wants the invite.
I just want to go out to the crib. It's awesome, dude.
Apparently, you have a great grill.
No. The house in general is so sweet, dude.
It's got a big fridge, I think.
So what are you trying to say?
You have two fridges?
Miss Nutmaker.
Don't Kyle, let him go to the grocery store.
Miss Nutmaker, Kyle is over here bothering me. Yeah. do not allow him back in the home.
Now guess what? The third show, on the third week in July, I have the Smurfs. They called them the Smurfs when they were playing. Ooh. Mark Duper and Mark Clayton.
They're
coming on together.
You know Louise is going to be tuning in.
Excellent. So thank you.
No, please.
That sounds great.
Thank you.
You played with Mark Ingram, didn't you?
Yes, I played with Mark Ingram. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I played with him and his son. That was awkward.
I didn't play with his son.
his son was in New Orleans with me.
Well, you know what? I did the same thing. When I was in New England, I played with Julius Adams.
Remember Julius Adams?
I know,
but do you know
what? And his son was playing here in Philly.
Bullet.
Yeah, that's when I realized I was getting old.
Do you know who I played with that maybe quit? Your son, Landon.
Oh, London. You played with London?
I played against him. We keep playing with Kansas City. I was with the Rams in that year, and it was a preseason game.
Right, yeah, it was in camp.
And so I'm standing out there at the end of the game, and so I heard somebody talking about Mr. Thomas. I was like,
Mr. Thomas.
Hey! He's like, who the hell has that much respect for me to call me Mr. Thomas?
I was like, man, what the hell are you? How old are you?
How old are you?
I know, that's what I was like, where have you time gone?
That's awesome. Yeah, that's great.
Tank put in his retirement paperwork the next day.
Yep. I just walked away.
So,
tip my head and slowly walked away.
Everybody, youtube.com/ The Fryer Place. Yes. That is how you can find them. Mm-hmm. We're
up and running on July 2nd. So
excellent. So Brian Walden, I'm tuning in. Luis Deweese, fantastic. Can't wait to listen. Jamie Hollenbach, everybody. You've got a listening audience already. But you know it's not because of us, because you earned it already.
Well, thank
you're
you.
The man. I told you that.
Irving. Can't thank you enough for being here, man.
Yeah, I'd like to come
thank
back.
You, sir.
If you guys are happy. We get a chance to really get into the nitty gritty. But
You're gonna be.
By the way, we have a show next week.
Okay, I can come back next week.
Come on in.
We'll be talking Sixers conference finals by then.
Oh God, no.
No, you won't.
Or we'll be talking. Are we gonna be talking about Captain Coconut Oil?
We'll be firmly moved on to baseball season.
Irvin, we appreciate you being here, sir.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You guys, Bud Light Green Legion Radio here on Fox Sports Radio Philadelphia, brought to you by our good friends at MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry, back for our final segment of Kick Ass or Jackass right after this. Cabinetry, reach out to them at mcsinc-pa.com or call
484-202-3656. That's 484-202-3656.
And real fast, credit where credit is due. Irving is going to join us again next week.
Oh my God, yes.
But I would like to thank our own Hollis Thomas for making that.
Thanks, Hollis.
Thank you, Tank. Thank my boy, Irv Dog. So I appreciate the guys who show up.
You are
I appreciate you. You hear what I'm saying?
We don't do this without you, baby.
I appreciate the guys who show up.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Bobby Taylor.
To you.
Javon Curtis. The best part about Javon Curtis is Lito invited him to this golf outing a couple weeks ago. He didn't show up either.
He's oh my God. Yeah, really?
He did a Tree Murphy. I'm definitely going to be there and didn't show up.
And then, and
you talking about the Easter Bunny?
Yeah.
All right. Jesus. Real quick, everybody. We're going to make sure this show is not anticlimactic. All right.
You never do.
Because I have in front of me a list of month-long observances for July.
Oh, jeez.
Awkward.
But what we can also do now is we can choose which of the following celebrations should take center stage in July.
Okay.
And I would like to go through that with you guys right now. And you can say kick-ass or jackass.
Here we go.
First, okay, just so you know, everybody, this is all the monthly observances for July. Monthly, not day, not one day, monthly.
You're killing this week in Hollis history here with his, you know, with the...
Shut up, Bourbon Diaz.
Strawberry Shortcake Day. Oh, all right. Well, no, I haven't done the holidays.
It's National Blueberry Month.
Ooh, I like that one. Kick-ass.
Yeah, kick-ass.
Wait until your daughter starts eating them. Jackass.
I don't like blueberries. Jackass.
You don't have a daughter.
No, I'm saying I got two boys, and when they eat blueberries, it's bad news.
And so that means the kids love them and you don't. So it's kick-ass to you, too.
It's also National Hot Dog Month. 1 year ago today, speaking of Hot Dog Month, Diaz loses. Not as bad as the Sixers loss, but Diaz loses the ketchup versus mustard on a hot dog.
Oh, I saw that on. I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, but see, we went wire to wire though on that. We won wire to wire.
All the way through.
We didn't blow a lead. We did not blow a lead.
Ketchup is for kids. National Hot Dog Month. Kick ass or jackass?
Kick ass.
Kick ass.
Going to Dollar Dog Night in July. Kick ass.
You don't like hot dogs. You're inhumane.
Thank you. National Ice Cream Month.
Damn. Skippy.
Kick ass.
That's a collective.
It's going to get worse.
Yeah, okay.
National
Bison Month.
Hell yeah. A bison burger is
bison
so
burger
good.
Is good.
It's delicious.
Kick my ass. Life. I like buffalo.
Yeah, kick ass for Tank.
Bison burgers are fantastic.
Yes. National Baked Bean Month. I know, and methane levels are already rising.
We need
National Barbecue Month at this point.
Well, methane levels should be rising because the gas prices are as well. So.
Kick ass or jackass?
Kick ass. Come on, give us one that's a challenge.
Kick ass.
I had to do it. National Watermelon Month, baby.
Oh, my God.
Jackass, I'm out of watermelon.
I'm surprised Sack didn't suggest that one.
So it's not kick ass?
Oh, it's totally
complete kick ass.
No. It's not kick ass.
Jackass for me. And if you want to talk about
no,
me,
no,
Diaz,
no.
Why don't you dress up like Claude Giroux for Halloween this year?
Oh, dear Lord. Yeah,
let's talk about your Halloween costume last year.
I was trying to get him to make him say kick ass, but that trumps everything.
Yeah. Watermelon's fantastic.
It is kick ass, but he wanted to say jackass because he doesn't like it. And so I have to respect that, maybe, because your Claude Giroux outfit was
like, I'll do better. I promise I'll do better this year.
I believe it was Claude Giroux. Yeah,
that was god awful. It's like what are you? It's like, what are you doing? I'm gonna burn a tea on your lawn for tolerance.
All right, here we go. Ready? As it gets sillier, National Horseradish Month.
Ew.
Ooh,
jackass.
Yeah, jackass.
Kick-ass. I love horseradish.
Jackass.
Keenan, what do you got?
He said, only on roast beef.
Only on roast beef.
Yeah, Arby's for sure.
Well, if you don't know what's in cocktail sauce.
Exactly, yeah.
It's okay, ketchup and horseradish. Yeah.
Slash tell us to keep that clean.
There was a tail at there.
Yeah, roast beef.
National Share a Sunset with Your Lover Month.
Oh my God, that's awful. It's awful. I mean, I proposed during a sunset, so I can't really speak. But that was the last time
we all said jackass.
Together. It's jackass.
It's jackass. Who are you going to invite? Nate Gary, Alex Singleton? Yeah,
there we go. It never gets old.
Nate Gary will be the best dressed guy.
It never gets old.
I'm going to say kick ass.
By the way, you're not coming to any of the player shows.
I got to say kick ass because I have a few.
I'm inviting Gordon Lightfoot.
Sundown. That's really bad.
Thank you.
I think
that's really bad.
Wow.
Really bad.
How do you know that?
I know.
Because I'm an oldie at heart. Jesus Christ.
Samantha Ross just said, yeah, lame.
I met Mrs. and Mrs. Nunnaker.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
She'd like it.
National Contract Sewing Month.
What?
Exactly.
Contract
Jackass. Sewing?
Jackass.
National Carpet Cleaning Month.
I do like a clean carpet.
International Group B Strep Awareness Month.
What?
Exactly. This is how whacked these are. Whacked. Here we go.
So
Freedom from Fear of Speaking in Public Month.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question. So when the black guy was bringing up these
holidays.
When the black guy was bringing up these holidays, we had a problem, huh?
International Blondie and Deborah...
I need HR right now. I don't know how I'm feeling about this ordeal.
Sam, get in here.
Sam, get in here.
International Blondie and Deborah Harry Month.
What the hell is that?
She's the lead singer of Blondie.
Ready?
I love Blondie.
National Anti-Boredom Month.
Listen to Green Legion Radio. That won't happen.
That's got to be like January.
National Purposeful Parenting Month, which I'm sure this has something to do with not raising your kids as Cowboys fans.
good. Good job, Quimby, keeping it clean.
Pretty accurate.
There are actually 72 others. These are my highlights.
Okay.
I think we got to go with National Hot Dog Month.
Yeah, we should. We should also go with, are you sure there's not 1776 in there?
Mm.
4th of July. Come on. That's all we need to celebrate.
America. July. Fireworks.
Yes.
Blow stuff up.
Once again, I know. Once again, leave the black guy out.
Can I have one?
Once again, leave the black guy out. Shut up.
Here it is.
Shut up.
We got 2 weeks till Bobby Bonilla Day.
Shut up. It's Juneteenth.
When's Ilya Briscoe?
Juneteenth. We know that one.
You see, we know Juneteenth. You know what Juneteenth is?
I know exactly. That's federal holiday.
Fellas, look at me.
It just became a federal holiday.
That's good news.
There's 1 minute left, and the black guy's going to get all 60 seconds. Shut up.
You know what I was happy about is that
nobody cares.
We got to meet Kyle's girlfriend at the Bud Light baseball brunch, and actually, we know that she has a pulse, and I expect you to return my air compressor back.
And that actually,
is completely off the rails.
Well, actually, you are correct because I thought that was a figment of his imagination.
Exactly.
I thought his girlfriend's name was a couple of socks that he had. You know.
Yeah, I thought they were. I thought it was on the wall.
Hey, hold on.
Better than the tube sock.
Where do you think the tube socks went?
Strange.
She's wearing ankles. Bought him new socks.
Everybody,
let's get out of here.
We could. Yeah, this
something
it's,
went
it's,
wrong.
It's well, this show just went wrong in the last 5 minutes. Everybody, Bud Light, Green Legion Radio.
Did the white guy kick me off? Really? Wow, my computer. The white guy just kicked me out of the ordeal. Wow,
it wasn't me.
That's one of the other ones.
It was Shaggy.
Wasn't me.
Caught me on the counter.
He's a light-skinned black.
Bud Light Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports Radio, Philadelphia. Brought to you by our good friends at MCS Residential, MCS Custom Cabinetry. Reach out to them at mcsinc-pa.com. Mention the Green Legion for 10% off of all your residential contracting needs. On behalf of myself, / Keenan, Pam, Sam, Tank, Diaz, Zach, and Irving Fryer.
We'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week. We appreciate
it. If you want to listen by then, who knows?
Yeah. I would tune out too. Yeah. I would go to WIP.
And the good news is you're fired.
Wait a minute.
Thankfully, we don't take any phone calls.
Thank you.
Anyway, everybody, we appreciate you. We love you. Thanks for spending your Saturday afternoon with us. We'll see you next week.